Office Y。The story of the girl who married her boss and of the girl who took over. Here is Geoffrey Pilgrim to commence another chapter of Office Wife. I had some luck as I was leaving the office this evening. Good luck or bad, don't ask me. But I happened to walk past the office switchboard just as Millie Moffat was trying to get Marcia's topaz brooch out of sight. Naturally, I asked her what in the world she was doing with it. And she told me some confused story about Marcia giving her a lift in a cab and dropping it. I suppose you're saying what's wrong with that. Well, nothing. Except that Marcia just said she hadn't been out of the flat all day and denied losing the brooch. What's my wife up to, anyway?
You said something about taking in a show, Jeff. Are you going?
Not by myself. Snap out of it and come along. Why don't you?
I'm not in the mood.
And I, darling, am not in the mood to sit about. Now, I think I'll beetle over and have a word with Hallie Palmer.
What on earth for?
Do you remember when you walked in on Stella and me at the Pelican yesterday evening?
Yes, I'm frightfully sorry if I was in the way.
Now, please don't be silly, Marcia. Of course you weren't in the way I wanted you there. That's why I was talking to Stella in the first place, to get you two together.
Now, really, Jim?
We're not going to argue about it, Marcia. It didn't come off, so that's that. But I'm rather anxious to find out just how you knew we were together at the Pelican. Darling, tell me, how did you know?
Well, I just happened to walk in.
I wish I could believe that. I'll be back in an hour or so. Don't wait up for me.
Is that you, Harry? It's Marcia here. Jeff's on his way to see you about that business yesterday. You know, when you told me they were together at the Pelican?
You didn't give me away, did you?
Oh, of course I didn't. Whatever you do, be terribly careful. If he finds out...
Marcia, he won't. Anyway, my conscience is clear.
I don't care about your conscience. Jeff mustn't find out it was you.
I'll watch out, Marcia. Thanks for ringing. Bye.
Goodbye, Harry.
Someone tipped Marcia off, and it was peculiar to say the least. Have you any ideas, Palmer?
Oh, really? Boy, what do you take me for, the crystal gazer?
If I could pin it on one person in particular, I'd take him apart. Things are difficult enough at home without some interfering busybody.
Well, people have been known to make a phone call like that, thinking it was the right thing to do.
Make a phone call like what?
Well, like telling Marcia you and Stella were together, of course.
But just a minute. How did you know it was a phone call that brought Marcia to the Pelican?
Well, hang it, Jeff. I'm just assuming.
Now, look here. There wasn't a soul I knew in the Pelican last night, but Stella and you.
Now, hold on a minute. You're not trying to say that I put you in touch with Marcia. Oh, talk sense, man, for Pete's sake.
Well, somebody did.
Well, so what? When I left the Pelican, you had your back to the rest of the room. I can think of 50 people who might have seen you and tipped Marcia off as well.
Name one.
All right. Angela Tennant.
She wasn't there.
How do you know? Got eyes in the back of your head?
Angela wouldn't gallop straight to her phone just because she saw me there with Stella.
But I would. Is that it? Now, look here, Jeff. I'm beginning to take a very meager view. Who put all those fur coat stories on the grapevine? Who's been saying all along that you were too darned interested in your secretary? Who's constitutionally incapable of believing anything good about anyone, anywhere, at any time? You know that tenant woman as well as I do.
All right, so Angel, the tenants are babbling harridly.
I'm not saying she is, but if you must put the finger on someone, she's a likelier prospect than me.
Where's your phone?
Well, who are you going to ring?
Angela Tennant.
Not from here, you're not.
Why?
Because this is strictly your own affair, and I'm not going to be mixed up in it.
All right, if that's the way you feel.
It is the way I feel, old man. Oh, look here, don't let's have a flap. What about a drink?
No, thanks. I'd better buzz off home before some more of my acquaintances start ringing Marcy to tell her I'm hobnobbing with Stella Bronson again. Cheerio. See you in the morning.
Oh, but Jeff, what a mean way to go about things.
Just a minute. Yes, Mr. Fleming?
Come up to my office in about 10 minutes, will you, Jeff?
Very well, sir. Now, what were you saying, Stella?
I think it's a pretty poor show. With Millie Moffat, of all people. Are you absolutely sure?
Of course I'm not. But Millie had the brooch, and Marcy had denied having been out all day. What can I think? Marcy has probably asked Millie to listen to our phone calls and keep an eye on us generally.
Oh, how perfectly disgusting. What Marcia needs more than anything else...
For heaven's sake, leave my wife out of this.
I will not. If I'm involved to the extent of helping you out of the complete tangle you're in, I'll jolly well say what I think of her.
Not to me, you won't.
Yes, to you. She doesn't deserve your loyalty.
But as long as I'm her husband and you're my secretary, she's going to get it. Let that be understood, Stella.
Jeff Pilgrim, there are times when you make me sick.
Such as now?
What do you think?
I think you'd better get on with your work and let me handle my domestic affairs. Don't worry. I'll pull things together.
Well, I wish you would. Why don't you tell Tressa de Bendigo you know what he's up to and be done with it? Why don't you tell him to keep his rotten job and his niece? Resign. Benny Puller wants us both at higher figures than we'll ever get from Tressa de Bendigo. Why don't you wash your hands of them, lock, stock, and barrel?
How do you know I won't?
Because you're tied hand and foot to your wife's apron strings.
I'm tied to nothing, Stella. And unless you're looking for a full-scale row, you'd better get your temper in hand and cool down. I'm going up to see...
Ah, yes, Jeff. We have a few minutes before 5 o'clock, so I won't keep you late. In fact, I'll get right down to Tin Tacks. I hear Benny Puller's been making you offers.
Oh?
Well, what I wanted to say, you've been with the firm a long time. You wouldn't leave us without giving us an opportunity to match his proposition, I hope?
Well, it hasn't come to that yet, sir. But why shouldn't I?
Well, really? Don't you feel you owe the firm a certain amount of loyalty?
What? Mr. Fleming, I've been dying to say this for 3 or 4 days. I think it's like Tressa de Bendigo and Company's infernal nerve to expect loyalty from me.
I'm sure I don't know what you mean, Jeff. What are you talking about?
Mr. Bendigo's arranged matters so that I'm to be forced to get rid of my secretary or be put in a forced position with my wife. That's what it amounts to, isn't it?
Yes. Well, now look here, Jeff. Marcy is not my niece. It has nothing to do with me.
I shouldn't have minded so much if Mr. Bendigo had come straight to me. But to send Harry Palmer with a lot of rot... As though I couldn't see through it.
Oh, dear me. Why do I always have to bear the brunt? What are you going to do, then?
Nothing at all. I'm going to wait till Mr. Bendigo comes out into the open. And then we'll see.
Jeff, speaking quite personally, I'm very upset about all this. Don't be so stiff-necked. Lower your flag a little and... Get rid of Miss Bronson. Your marriage won't last if you don't.
Mr. Fleming, my marriage won't last if I do.
There's another rather decent boogie-woogie one here, Angela.
Mead Lux Lewis.
Oh, shove it on, darling. Hello, is this Jeff?
Could be. That's you, Jeff?
Yes, Fred.
Thank the Lord you're home. I want the car.
Well, it's all yours.
But you might have to shove in some petrol. Hello, Angela.
Hello.
Where are you going?
Angela and I are going out. Aren't we? That was the general idea. I'm taking the dear child on the tiles. A party at my place.
Oh. Well, I'm sorry, but she won't be going.
Who says so?
I do.
Oh, really, Jeff? The heavy husband act went off with Beerbohm Tree.
What about minding your own business, Angela?
Jeff, please don't speak to my friends like that.
I'll speak to Angela how I please. There's a lot I've been wanting to say to Mrs. Tennant. This seems to be as good a time as any. In future, be good enough to keep away from my wife.
I tell her too much, do I?
Too much altogether. And whenever you open your mouth, you pitch her a lot of lies. You've tried to poison her mind with your own perverted outlook, and you've had the gall to fill her head with a lot of chuckle-witted notions about my secretary. You're a tattler. There's nothing you loathe more than a happy marriage, and if you can wreck one, you lean over backwards to do it. The fellows you contrive to marry couldn't bear you or your long, thin nose or your arty and crafty tail-bearing, and neither can I. Be good enough to go at once.
With pleasure. Coming, Marcia?
Yes, I am.
Marcia's staying here. Now, Angela, you know your way to the door, don't you?
Well, of course you don't think I'd stay here after that. I'm awfully sorry, Marcia, darling. Bear up. I'll give you a ring. What's the meaning of this, Jeff? I thought I was married to a reasonably civilized person.
Now, you'll listen to me.
I won't listen to you. How dare you come storming in here, insulting my friends without even the vestige of an excuse?
All right, I shouldn't have lost my temper with her, but I have every excuse. I'm utterly sick and tired of you entertaining that woman and listening to her infernal lies. And I've just about had this fantastic running about of yours and your uncle's. It has to stop. We must make an end to it.
You're the one who should make an end to it. It's you who...
I'm married to you, not to your uncle's firm. And if we can't separate our married life from Tressa de Bendigo and company, I'll have to leave one or the other. It's you or the firm, Marcia. Now, which is it going to be?
It's not going to be either. I won't have you leaving the firm, my firm almost, and you're not going to walk out on me. Because if you do, I know where you'll go, Jeff Pilgrim. And you'll do that over my dead body.
We invite you to listen again to further episodes of Office Wife, written by L.J. Hardy, a Donovan Joyce production.